40, 5th chapter, subject, facing the sun of his teacher. When Lord Krishna saw that Vasudeva and Devaki were staying there in reverential attitude, he immediately expanded his influence of Yogamaya so that his parents could treat them, Krishna and Balaram, as children. As in a material world, by the influence of illusory energy, the relationship of father, mother and children between different living entities can be established. Similarly, by the influence of Yogamaya, a devotee can establish his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a child. After creating the situation of Yogamaya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his elder brother, Baladev, appearing as the most illustrious sons in the dynasty of the Saptaka, very submissively addressed Vasudeva and Devaki as my dear father, my dear mother, with great respect, just to please them. Although you had been always very much anxious for protection of our life, you could not enjoy, my dear father and mother, the pleasure of having us as your small baby, growing boy and adolescent youth. In other words, Krishna eulogized the fatherhood of Nanda Maharaj and motherhood of Yashoda as more glorious because actually they enjoyed the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, although actually they were not born children. By nature's own arrangement, the childhood of the embodied living being is enjoyed by the parents. Even in the animal kingdom, the affection of the parents on the cubs are found. The parents actually enjoy the childhood pastimes of their offspring and being captivated by the activities of their children. They take so much care for their children. In the case of Vasudeva and Devaki, they were always very much anxious for the protection of their sons Krishna and Balaram, so much so that Krishna was immediately transferred after his appearance to the other house, and Balaram was also transferred from Devaki's home to Rohini's home. Thusly, they were full of anxieties for Krishna and Balaram's protection, but they could not enjoy their childhood pastime. Krishna continued to say that, unfortunately, being ordained by our fate, we also could not be raised by our own parents so that we could also enjoy the pleasures of childhood, keeping ourselves and being raised by our own parents. Krishna continued to say, my dear father and mother, if a man cannot repay the indebtedness to his parents from whom he gets this body which can endow upon him all benefits of material existence. In other words, according to Vedic injunction, this human form of body is the source of attainment for all kinds of religious activities, fulfillment of all kinds of desires, acquisition of all kinds of wealth, and there is every possibility that only in this human form of body one can get liberation from the material existential condition. And this body is produced by the combined effort of the father and mother. Therefore, every human being should be very, very much obliged to their parents. Nobody can pay back the indebtedness to his parents. Any son, therefore, after being grown up, if he does not repay the parents by trying to satisfy parents by action of the body or by endowment of riches, such son surely after death is punished by the superintendent of death, forceful eating of his own flesh. Any person, in spite of his being able to take care of, does not do so in the matter of giving protection to old parents and chaste wife and children, spiritual master, Brahmin, and other dependents. Such a person is considered to be already dead, although he is supposed to be breathing. My dear father, mother, you had always been very much anxious for our protection, but unfortunately we could not render any service unto you. So up to death, all these days, we have simply wasted our time. Therefore, as we could not serve you for reasons beyond our reach, therefore, my mother and father, please excuse us for our sinful action. In this way, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead was speaking as if innocent boy, in the very, very sweet words, both Vasudev and Devaki became very much captivated by filial affection and embraced them with great pleasure. They were simply amazed and they could not speak or answer the words of Krishna, but simply by embracing them in great affection, remained silent, shedding tears incessantly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as the beloved son of Devaki, thus consoling the father and mother, he approached his grandfather Ugrasan and regularly announced that he would be now the king of the Jodhu kingdom. In other words, Kamsa was ruling over the kingdom of Jodhu forcibly, in spite of his father's presence, practically keeping him arrested. So Kamsa's father was also released from such condition and announced as the king of the kingdom of Jodhu after the death of Kamsa. It appears that in those days, in the western part of India, there were many small kingdoms like Jodhu dynasty, Andhaka dynasty, Brisni dynasty, Bhoja dynasty. So Maharaj Bhoja, Maharaj Ugrasen belonged to the Bhoja dynasty. So Krishna indirectly declared the king of the Bhoja dynasty as emperor of the small other kingdoms. He willingly asked Maharaj Ugrasen to command over them because they were their subjects. The word praja is used both for the progeny and for the Syrians. So Krishna belonged both ways as grandson of Maharaja Ugrasena. He belongs to the progeny, and as member of the Yadu dynasty, he voluntarily accepted the subjugation of Maharaj Ugrasena. Krishna, in this connection, informed Ugrasena that being cursed by Jajati, the kings of the Yadu dynasty will not occupy any throne, but it will be our pleasure to serve you as your servant, and our full cooperation with you will make your position more exalted and secure, so that the kings of other dynasty will not hesitate to pay their respective revenues, because protected by me, you will be honored even by the demigods from the heavenly planets. Krishna continued to say, "My dear grandfather, out of fear of my late uncle Kamsa, all the kings belonging to the Yadu dynasty, Vrishni dynasty, Andhava dynasty, Madhu dynasty, Dasharaha dynasty, and Kukula dynasty, everyone was very much anxious and disturbed. Now you can call them all and give them assurance of security, so the whole kingdom will be peaceful. All the kings in the neighboring area, being afraid of Kamsa, practically left their homes, and they were living in some foreign parts of the country. Now, after declaring Ugrasena the king and calling them back after the death of Kamsa, and just giving them all kinds of presentation and consolence, they were sent back to their respective home. After this nice political arrangement, the citizens of Mathura were very much pleased to lead along with Krishna and Balaram, specifically being protected by their strong arms on account of good government. Due to the presence of Krishna and Balaram, all the inhabitants of Mathura felt complete satisfaction in the matter of fulfillment of all their material desires and necessities, and because they used to see Krishna and Balaram daily, eye to eye, they forgot all material miseries for good. As soon as they would see Krishna and Balaram coming out on the street, very nicely dressed and smiling and looking to the citizens with grace, they would immediately fill up with loving ecstasy simply by seeing the personal presence of Mukunda. Mukunda means one who can avert liberation and transcendental bliss. What to speak of the younger generation in the city of Mathura, on account of Krishna's presence and on account of seeing them regularly, even the old men residing in Mathura become fully invigorated with youthful energy and strength. In other words, Krishna's presence acted as vitalizing tonic even for the old men in Mathura. For some days, Father Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda were also living in Mathura, because Krishna and Balaram were there. But after sometimes they wanted to go back to Vrindavan, and that Krishna and Balaram went before them and very feelingly, affectionately embraced Nanda and Yashoda and began to speak as follows. My dear father and mother, although I was born of Vasudev and Devaki, still you acted as my real father and mother, because from the very birth childhood you raised me with great affection and love. Your affection, love upon us were more than anyone can offer to one's own children. Therefore, actually, you both are our father and mother, because you raised us as your own children at a time when we are just like orphans, and on account of unavoidable reasons, we are rejected by our own father and mother for being protected by you. My dear father and mother, I know how you'll be feeling separation by returning to Vrindavan, leaving us here, but be rest assured that I shall be coming back to Vrindavan just after giving some satisfaction to my real father, Vasudev Devaki, my grandfather, other relatives and family members. Krishna and Balaram thusly satisfied Nanda and Yashoda by sweet words, by presentation of various kinds of clothing, ornaments, and copper-made utensils, and satisfied them as highly as possible, along with their friends and neighbors who came with them from Vrindavan to Mathura. Nanda Maharaj, on account of his excessive filial affection for Rama and Krishna, with tears in his eyes, embraced them and then started with the cow horsemen for Vrindavan. After this, Vasudev got his sons initiated by sacred thread ceremony as token of second birth, which is essential for the high caste orders of the human society. Vasudev called for their family, priests, and learned Brahmins, and the sacred thread ceremony of Krishna and Balaram was duly performed. During this ceremony, Vasudev gave in charity various kinds of ornaments to the Brahmins and endowed them with cows nicely decorated with silk cloth and golden ornaments. Another significant incident took place in this connection, that the cows which were given in charity during the birth of Balaram and Krishna by Vasudev, within his mind, they were stopped by Kamsa on account of Vasudev's being imprisoned in his custody. Now, this time, after the death of Kamsa, those cows were again released and given to the Brahmins. In this way, when Lord Rama and Krishna were duly initiated with their sacred thread ceremony, they executed the chanting of Gayatri Mantra, G-A-Y-A-T-R-I-M-A-N-T-R. Gayatri Mantra is offered to the disciple after the sacred prayer ceremony, and Ramakrishna properly discharged the duties of chanting this mantra. Anyone who executes the chanting of this mantra has to undergo certain principles of vows, and both Rama and Krishna, although they were transcendental personalities, strictly followed those regulatory principles. Both of them were initiated from their family priest, Gargacharya, generally known as Gargamuni, the Acharya of the Jada dynasty. According to Vedic culture, every respectable family has got fixed up Acharya for spiritual training. And nobody is considered to be perfectly cultured man without being initiated and trained by an Acharya. It is said, therefore, that one who has approached an Acharya is actually in perfect knowledge. Lord Krishna and Balaram were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of all education and master of all knowledge. There was no need of accepting a spiritual master or Acharya for them. Still, for the instruction of ordinary men, they also accepted a spiritual master and Acharya for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Next verse, it is customary that after being initiated in the Gayatri Mantra by the Acharya, one has to leave at the care of the Acharya out of home for some time in order to be practically trained up in spiritual life. During this period of living at the care of a spiritual master, one has to work under him as ordinary menial servant. There are many rules and regulations of a brahmachari living under the care of Acharya, and both Lord Krishna and Balaram followed strictly those regulative principles while living under instructor and spiritual master Sandipani Muni, Sandipani Muni, was a resident of Avantipur, a district in Ujjain in northern India. According to a scripture injunction, the spiritual master should be respected on the equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both Krishna and Balaram exactly followed those principles with great devotion and undergoing the regulatory principles of brahmachari, and thus they satisfied their spiritual master who instructed them Vedic knowledge. Sandipani Muni, also being very much satisfied with the dealings of Krishna and Balaram, instructed them all the intricacies of Vedic persons and their supplementary family, the Upanishads. And because Krishna and Balaram happened to be Kshatriyas, they were specifically trained also in the matter of military science, politics and ethics. In politics, there are six kinds of departmental knowledge, namely how to make peace, how to fight, how to pacify, how to divide and rule, how to give shelter. All these items were fully explained and instructed to Krishna and Balaram. Next paragraph. As it is sometimes seen that although the ocean is the source of water in the rivers, because the cloud evaporates. Cloud is created by evaporation of the ocean water, and the same water is distributed all over the surface. and then it comes down towards the ocean through the rivers. Similarly, Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of all different kinds of knowledge. Still, because both the brothers were playing just like ordinary human boys, exemplified by their character that everyone has to receive knowledge from the right source, and thus they also agreed to take knowledge from Sandipani Muni. But the peculiarity was that Krishna and Balaram, after hearing once from the teacher, they would learn all kinds of arts and science at once. In this way, in 64 days and 64 nights, they learned all kinds of necessary arts and science generally required in human society ordinarily. Otherwise, during daytime, they got lessons from the teacher, and in the night, after hearing from the teacher, they were experts in that departmental knowledge. First of all, they learned how to sing, how to compose songs, how to signify the different tunes of singing, the favorable and unfavorable accents and meter for singing, different kinds of rhythms and melodies, and how to follow them by beating different kinds of drums. Then they learned how to dance with rhythm of melodies and different tunes of singing. They learned all kinds of books for writing dramas, and then they learned all kinds of paintings, beginning from simple village art up to the highest perfection and stage of pictures. They also learned how to paint tilaks on the face by shining different kinds of dots on the forehead and cheeks. Then they learned the art of painting on the floor by liquid paste of rice and flowers. Such paintings are very popular in auspicious ceremonies performed in household affairs or in the temples. They learned how to make resting place with flowers, and how to decorate clothing and leaves with different colorful paintings. They also learned how to set different valuable jewels in ornaments in the right place. They also learned the art of ringing water pots. In this art, water pots are filled with water up to certain measurement, so that when beating on the pot, it produces a different tune, and when they are beaten altogether, it produces a nice melodious sound. They also learned how to throw water in the river or in the lake while taking bath amongst friends. They learned also how to decorate with flowers. This art of decorating with flowers are still visible in various temples of Vrindavan during summer season. They are called Phulbari, Phulbari. In this matter, they dyed the throne, the walls, the ceiling, everywhere. Flowers are so nicely decorated, and a small fountain fixed up in the center produces a nice flavor all round, so that during summer season, people forget the fatigueness due to excessive heat. Then they learned the art of dressing here in different style and fixing on the helmet in different posture. They learn also how to set up theatrical stage and how to decorate the artist with cloth, flower, ornaments in the ear, sprinkled by sandalwood pulp and water to produce a nice fragrance. Then they learn the art of showing magic performances which were sometimes unbelievable actions. Within this magical field, there is another section which is called Bahurupi, B-A-H-U-R-U-P-I. In this art, a friend dresses himself in such a way that when he approaches another friend, he cannot recognize him. They learn also how to make different kinds of syrups and beverages required at different times with different taste and intoxication. They learn also different kinds of sewing and embroidery works. As well as they learn how to manipulate thin thread for dancing puppets. This art includes setting different kinds of wares in string instruments to produce melodious sound as they are found in Veena, Sitar, Esrar, Tanpura, etc. Then they learn puzzling and crosswords, how to set them or how to solve them. They learn also the art of reading books. Then they learned the art of dressing here in different style and fixing up the helmet in different postures. They learned also how to set up theatrical stage and how to decorate the artist with cloth, flower, ornaments in the ear, sprinkled by sandalwood pulp and water to produce a nice fragrance. Then they learn the art of showing magic performances which were sometimes unbelievable actions. Within this magical field, there is another section which is called Bahurupi. In this art, a friend dresses himself in such a way that when he approaches another friend, he cannot recognize him. They learn also how to make different kinds of syrups and beverages required at different times with different taste and intoxication. They learn also different kinds of sewing and embroidery works. As well as they learn how to manipulate thin thread for dancing puppets. This art includes setting different kinds of wares in string instruments to produce melodious sound as they are found in Veena, Sitar, Esrar, Tanpura, etc. Then they learn puzzling and crosswords, how to set them or how to solve them. They learn also the art of reading books, how even a dull student can very quickly learn the alphabet and read books. Then they learned rehearsing and acting on the words of the drama and dramatic performances, the art of filling up crosswords to fill up the missing void, blank space to coin a complete word. Then they learned how to compose and read pictographic literature. In some of the countries of the world, this pictographic literature is still current. this picture of a literature is represented by picture, just like one man is going home, so the picture of walking is there and a house is there, which will represent the man is going to house. Then they learned the art of architecture, how to construct residential buildings. Then they learned to recognize different kinds of valuable jewels by studying its lustre and color. Then they learned the art of jewelry, how to set jewels with gold and silver bases so that they look very beautiful. After that, they learned how to study soil to find out different kinds of minerals. This soil study is at the present moment a great science, but formerly they were common sense knowledge even for the ordinary man. Then they learned to study herbs and plants, how they could act as medicine for different ailments, as well as to study different species of plants, how to make cross-breeding of different plants and trees and get different types of fruits thereof. Then they learned how to engage in fighting the lions and the cocks for sporting purpose. Then they learned how to teach parrots to speak and answer the question of human being. Then they learned practical psychology, how to create influence on other's mind and thus induce him to act according to one's own desire. Sometimes this is called hypnotism. Then they learned how to wash hair and set up in different collars and curlings. Then they learned the art of telling alphabets written in someone's notebook and without seeing them, as well as they learned to tell actually what is contained in other's fist. Sometimes children imitate this art, although not very accurately, but one child keeping something within his fist asks his friend, "Can you tell what is within?" And he gives some suggestion, but actually cannot tell. But there is an art, as you understand from here. One can actually tell what is there within the hand, within the fist. Then they learn how to understand and speak in different languages of different countries. Not only different languages of the human being, Krishna could speak even with animals and birds. That evidences are there in Vaishnava literature given by the Goswamis. Then they learned how to make a flower, carriage, an aeroplane. It is said in the Ramayana that Lord Ramchandra, after defeating Ravana, was carried from Lanka to Bharatvarsha on the plane of flowers. They are called Pushparas. Then Krishna learned the art of foretelling by seeing some sign. There is a book called Konarvachan. In this book, there are various types of signs and foretelling. Just like when you are going out, if you see somebody is going with bucket full of water, it is a very good sign. But if somebody is going empty bucket, it is not very good sign. Similarly, if you see one cow is milked along with his calf, it is good sign. And these things are there. The signs and the result are foretell. So Krishna learned this science also. Then Krishna learned the science of composing matrika. Just like there is a crossword section, three in one line, but you count any three from any side, it will count nine. These are called matrika. So there are different kinds of matrika, and they are required for different purposes. And Krishna learned this science. Then he learned the art of cutting valuable stones like diamond. Then he learned the art of questioning and answering by making poetry immediately within the mind. Then he learned the science of action and reaction or different physical combination and permutation. He learned the work of a psychiatrist who could understand the psychic movement of other person and how to satisfy one's desires, although such desires are very difficult to be fulfilled. For example, if one desires something which is unreasonable and never to be fulfilled, but still how it can be subdued and satisfied, there is an art. By this art, one can subdue sex impulses also when they are impaired, even in the brahmacharya life. By this art, one could make even an enemy his friend, or to transfer the direct action of some physical element to some other thing. In this way, Lord Krishna and Balaram, the reservoir of all knowledge, arts and science, exhibited their perfect understanding of all the arts and sciences above mentioned. Then they offered to serve their teacher by awarding anything he desired. This offering by this student to the teacher or spiritual master is called Guru Dakshina. It is essential that a student should satisfy the teacher after learning from him anything either material or spiritual. When Krishna and Balaram offered their service in this way, the teacher Sandipani Muni thought it wise to ask from them something extraordinary which no other common student could offer him. He therefore consulted with his wife what to ask from Krishna and Balaram. They had already seen the extraordinary potencies of Krishna and Balaram, therefore they could understand that the two boys were none but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus they decided to ask from Krishna and Balaram return of their son, who some time ago was drowned in the ocean on the bank of Prabhas Kshetra. So when Krishna and Balaram heard from their teacher about the death of their son in the bank of Prabhas Kshetra, immediately they started on their chariot to the particular place, and reaching the beach, asked the controlling deity of the ocean to return back the son of their teacher. The ocean deity immediately appeared before the lords and offered them all respectful obeisances with great humbleness. The Lord said, "Sometimes back you caused the drowning of the son of our teacher. So I order you to immediately return him." The ocean deity replied that the boy was not actually taken by him, but he was taken away by one demon of the name Panchajan. This great demon generally remains deep into the water in the shape of corn cell. The ocean deity informed Krishna that the son of his teacher might be within the belly of the demon, having been devoured by him. Krishna, on hearing this, information, immediately dived deep into the water and caught hold of the demon Sankhasu. But after killing him, he could not find out the son of his teacher within his belly. So he took only the dead body of the Sankhasu in the shape of corn shells and returned back to his chariot on the beach of Prabhasketra. From there, he immediately started for the residence of Jamaraj, the superintendent of death, reached to his place of the name Sangjamani. After reaching the place of the superintendent of death, along with his elder brother, Balaram, who is also known as Halayudha, he blew on his corn sled as the sound of siren. Jamaraj, the superintendent of death, immediately after hearing the vibration of the corn shell made by Sri Krishna, reached there and received him with all respectful obeisances. Jamaraj could understand who Krishna and Balaram were, and therefore he immediately offered his humble service to the Lord, who appeared on the surface of the earth as ordinary human being, but actually Krishna and Balaram were the super soul living within the heart of every living entity. They were Vishnu himself, but were playing just like ordinary human boys. When Jamaraj offered his services to the Lord, Sri Krishna asked him to return the son of his teacher who had come to him as result of his own work. Considering my ruling as supreme, you should immediately return the son of my teacher. Jamaraj immediately returned the boy to the supreme personalities, and Krishna and Balaram, after bringing him to his father, their teacher, again asked him if he had anything more to ask from them. The teacher replied, my dear son, you have done enough for me. I am now completely satisfied, and what there can be any want for a man who has got disciples like you. My dear boy, now you can go home, and your glorious acts like this will always be known all over the world. Although you are above all blessing, still it is my duty to bless you. And as such, I give you the benediction that whatever you shall speak, that will remain ever fresh in instruction of the Veda. Your teachings will not only be honored within this universe or within this millennium, but they will remain ever fresh, ever increasingly new and important. On account of this benediction from his teacher, Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is ever increasingly fresh and is not only renowned within this universe, but in other planets and other universes also. Thus being ordered by their teacher, Krishna and Balaram immediately returned home on their chariot with great speed, like the air, very quickly reached home, making great sound like the clouds. All the inhabitants of Mathura, who did not see Krishna and Balaram since a long time, were very much pleased to see them again, and they felt themselves so much engladdened as if one had got back their lost property. Next paragraph, thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport of the 45th chapter, Krishna, in the matter of facing the son of his teacher, by Krishna.